Welcome to the weekend. It's time for the best of the upswing on WTMJ, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Here's a look back at some of the conversations this week from the business and community leaders in Wisconsin that dared to inspire.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Here's Jeff Sherman.
Another great week on the upswing. We started the week talking to the 25th president of Marquette University, Dr. Kimo Ayoun, joined us. We also had a great conversation with the president of Ascension Wisconsin's Columbia St. Mary's Hospital on Milwaukee's East Side. Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal joined us, and we previewed all of the economic activity around the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is today, Saturday at noon, right here in downtown Milwaukee. To begin the week, on Monday, Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management, joined. Everyone's talking about tariffs, and it's usually kind of from a negative cost impact standpoint. I asked Dave his thoughts about who benefits from tariffs. Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. So, Dave, I want to continue our tariff talk here. And what other industries are actually saying, hey, tariffs provide us with the shield that we need to look into our business that would actually increase our business?
Yeah. Do you watch the Sunday morning news talk shows ever? Morning, UAW president Sean Fain, who was no fan of Trump, and in fact supported Vice President Harris in her election run, said he's all for it. And why is, with the UAW, the Auto Workers Union, why would they be in support of that? Because when, for example, someone imports a BMW into this country, there is a small tariff. But we turn around and ship a Cadillac to Germany, and there's a big tariff. And right, so that's the unfair tariffs that Trump is talking about, and to make them reciprocal. So Sean Fain said he's all for it, which obviously had the Democrats on their heels, because he's a big Democrat supporter. So there's one. I would say the auto tariffs would be one part of that. And the second would be, you know, steel industry. So the Chinese have been dumping steel here in this country for a long time. And so that has really put manufacturers, think about, you know, the steel areas like Pittsburgh and other places, that has really put them at a disadvantage. And so let me bring this all together. So, you know, this USMCA, United States, Mexico, China trade agreement, that was, you know, the reworked NAFTA, right? And so this is in place, and the reason why he's fighting a little bit part of this, I think, with Mexico and Canada, is because the Chinese, they're going to try their workaround, and what they're going to try to do is send that steel to Mexico and then Mexico into the United States to avoid those tariffs. So those are two things that I would watch for sure. The auto industry, probably the pharmaceutical industry, the steel industry, and again, the rework of the USMCA is all part of this. So there is, even though there is some volatility in the market right now, a lot of the analysts that we're talking to say there's some really good things down the road that could move the market in the right direction, and that is to extend the tax cuts. I know there's going to be a lot of talk about, you know, giving billionaires tax mm-hmm. breaks. It's extending the current tax cuts. That would be number one. Number two, that the Fed actually kicks back in to their easing that they have been doing. So look for July, that maybe there will be a rate cut. And of course, corporate profits are expected to be up in 2025, not down. So those three things all could be catalysts to the market in the second half of the year.
Yeah. I saw a survey over the weekend that 36% of workers who aren't self-employed plan to retire at 70 or older. 53% say they plan to continue to work in retirement. How does all the tariff talk, and again, a little bit of the uncertainty, play into our retirement portfolios?
Yeah, so I would think there's one thing that you don't like to do, and I don't want to get too geeky into the rules, but if you start taking money out when your portfolio is down, it starts to eat into the portfolio, right? So starting to take your withdrawals, if you retire in 2025 when the markets are down, is not, it's not optimum. right? Mm-hmm. It's not a great outcome. So you do want to try to kick that down the road. That is kind of the reason why you hear some people saying, until we get more of an all clear sign, we are not going to retire in 2025. That's the general knee jerk reaction. But what I would say, on average, people, you know, what they say and what they do are really different. You know, only 20% of people are working longer than 60, are older than 65. Only 20%. And of those 20%, some of them are finding purpose in work. And so they do go to work, not because they need a paycheck, because they don't want to sit home and have a honey-do list longer than their arms. And so they find something to do, and it could be something that's meaningful to them, that is aligned with their values. So they go, maybe they volunteer, maybe they get a job, maybe they're a Walmart greeter, but something that is aligning with their values of helping other people. That's really what we're seeing, a big part of the one-fifth of the people who continue to work after age 65.
Yeah. All right. What are we looking at in terms of numbers to watch and releases this week?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of data that comes out this week. You know, one of the things that, if I can take a minute here, tomorrow we're going to do tariffs, how they affect portfolios. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, myself, Dr. Brian Jacobson, our chief economist, and your own Steve Scafidi will be doing a webinar. You can go to annexwealth.com/events and sign up for that. It's interactive. So, you know, Steve will be in the studio, as will Dr. Brian and I, and we'll take some of these questions and we'll spend some more time to get deeper into that. So, but again, tariff talk for sure is going to be part of that. We're going to look for more economic data. This negative GDP report that I led with early on, that is going to get people's attention. We'll see what, if it gets adjusted. I think that negative GDP report will be adjusted. Why? Because as we talked about on Saturday morning show, a big part of that was the gold that came in. They make that adjustment later on. So they said negative 1.5, but they didn't get to the gold adjustment yet. So a lot of really good stuff. Appreciate you having me on.
Of course. Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. Dave, enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thank you.
Another thing to keep an eye on, of course, S&P 500 gained more than 20% for 2 years running. Lots of fluctuation there. Coming up next, also on Monday, Dr. Kimo Ayun, president at Marquette University, joined us in studio as he prepares for his inauguration. He talked to us about the recruitment and retention of new college students and the ever-changing financial landscape of higher education.
Back to the best of the upswing on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined in studio by President of Marquette University, Dr. Kimo Ayun. So this week, Dr. Ayun, you met with congressional leaders on both sides of the aisle to talk about federal funding for student financial aid and research. What did you learn? And talk to us a bit about the challenges of the process for the current students.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I learned, you start talking to people, I learned that they're opening to listening. I think about Ron Johnson, Tammy Baldwin. They're thinking about listening to understanding as how federal loans are important to be for our students to be able to come here. And I think about our dental students, our law students, our nursing students, people who make an immediate contribution to the economy in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I felt really good that they listened and they understood that we need to protect higher education. It makes Wisconsin better.
Yeah. Is it, from your lens, is it a funding thing for the university, or is it access to more avenues for incoming freshmen?
Yeah, I think it's access, right? It's the funding helps provide the access. So one of the things they're talking about are Grad Plus and Plus loans. These are loans that families use to be able to bridge the cost to make up the difference of education. We know higher education is important, and it's expensive, but it pays for itself. And we were able to demonstrate at Marquette, we retain, we graduate, we place our students sixth in the country and putting them into jobs. It's really helpful.
Yeah, good. I mentioned before the break that in the Sherman household, we are getting a lot of creative outreach to connect with our high school junior. I'm surprised at the number of direct mail pieces and targeted digital ads too. I mean, it's kind of fast and furious. I'm guessing that targeting of incoming freshmen is kind of a constant job at the university, and technology is changing it a lot. Can you give us just a high level of what works and maybe what doesn't?
Yeah, you're right. It's like you, I have a daughter going off to college, lots of mail, getting, yeah, it's about getting their attention and what's going to get a student attention. If you do the same thing everyone else is doing, you're not going to get the attention.
Yeah.
We send out Wessel pretzels
to
our admitted students.
Walkie Pretzel Company, yes. Matt and Katie.
Yeah, and they are tremendous. They have a tremendous Marquette story.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people who put on social media them getting their pretzels and eating with their family and getting, you know, a million plus hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you stand out and to get the attention? And for us, it's get them to visit Marquette. And once they do that, we're very successful because we're able to sell why we are such a special university.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And talk to us a little bit about that specialness. Like, what is that unique Marquette pride? I know my wife went to DePaul University, and I always say she's 100% Marquette by marriage. And nothing against DePaul. But, like, she had, you know, we embrace Marquette and the community and all that it brings.
Yeah, it's a university that cares, and I start with our faculty and staff and how they're going to take care of our students and treat your children in a way that helps them to grow, but also having leadership who's thinking about where we need to head next, about making those important decisions to make Marquette even better. But, you know, it's a place that cares about you. You come, you will feel it. And when you graduate, Marquette alums will help take care of you.
Yeah. Teaching that servant leadership, I think, is so incredibly important, especially in this ever-changing climate that we're all living right now. What are you interested in and excited about in terms of diving in community-wise now as president?
Yeah, you know, I think I continue to say access. How do we make sure there's access in the Milwaukee community for students to be able to come? But then outside of that, how do we use our graduates once they are through the Marquette system? How do we use our graduates to be able to help out Milwaukee? Because a strong Milwaukee results in a strong Southeast Wisconsin, and then all of us are better.
Very good. Rising tides lifts all boats. Milwaukee truly is a college town, and I don't think people think of it that way, but you look at the density of colleges and universities here and two-year schools, we really kind of punch above our weight in terms of density of students, and it's so important to recruit and then, once they graduate, retain them.
Yeah, and I'm fortunate to be able to be a group of Southeast Wisconsin presidents. We get together and we talk about what do we do collectively to strengthen the region. How do we think about AI? How do we think about data science? How do we think about the needs of the Milwaukee community? And when we're all working together, it is helpful for all of us.
Dr. Kimo Ayun, President of Marquette University, I appreciate your time and I look forward to these regular conversations.
Thank you. Look forward to it again.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Coming up next on Tuesday, the president of Ascension Wisconsin's Columbia St. Mary's Hospital on Milwaukee's East Side, Andre Story, joined us to talk about the challenges and opportunities in healthcare, specifically around Medicaid.
Back to the best of the upswing on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I'm joined by the president of Ascension Columbia St. Mary's Hospital, Milwaukee campus, Andre Story. Andre, again, appreciate your time this morning. So as you look at costs on the healthcare side, the costs continue to rise. Labor and supplies are going up. Costs have increased more than 5% compared to the same time last year. So you have all these headwinds coming in healthcare. And you're looking at changes in Medicaid. How does Ascension look at that in terms of possible Medicaid cuts affecting your ability to provide care?
Well, we know we're already in a challenged environment where Medicaid is reimbursing Wisconsin hospitals about 37% less than cost. Our ultimate focus is going to be on the quality of care we provide. That's where we're going to hang our shingles. That the quality of care you're getting here is going to be top-notch, and we're going to make sure we adjust to make sure that every patient who comes to our doors gets that care. We've been able to demonstrate that with becoming a comprehensive stroke center, that certification, primary heart attack center, bolstering our cancer program, just making sure that regardless of any walk of life you come from, that you're going to get high-quality care here.
And talk to us about the primary heart attack center certification and how that enhances cardiac care for the community.
Well, what that does is it's a certification that demonstrates that we have the highest level of care, and we also have access to that care 24/7. We have teams on alert for anyone who's suffering an acute event that can get access to an intervention from an interventional cardiologist, our ED team, and something that we're really used to seeing a lot. There's only two primary heart attack centers in the state of Wisconsin, and we're one of them. So we just want to make sure we focus on making that access to care is always there for our entire Ascension network. And that's we work with different agencies and different hospitals to make sure our doors are always open.
And how do you continue to strengthen those alliances with clinicians and community organizations to support your business initiatives?
Well, the business initiatives are really the quality initiatives. And so we have multidisciplinary teams where we review our data every single month, and our clinical teams meet regularly to go over that information. Like, the question that we're always asking ourselves is, what can we be doing better? How can we improve care? And when we are doing things well, how do we share that information with our other hospitals in our network?
All right. When you look at kind of the upcoming needs and projects, possible expansions planned on the Milwaukee campus, what does this look like for you in the coming year?
Well, our primary focus is bolstering our education efforts. We just got accredited by the American College of Graduate Medical Education to start an internal medicine program. So that will be a 36-person program and accepting 12 internal medicine residents every year. So that's the first step of, as we continue to grow, as Milwaukee's continuing to grow, that we are meeting the physician need in education.
All right. And then finally, I got to ask you about the last May ransomware attack and the role of technology in healthcare. Any new technologies or innovations being implemented in the near future, not only to prevent further attacks, but just to continue to enhance access to data and patient care?
Well, I think our access to data has always been a focus, you know, making sure that we have the security in place to meet those roles. And so we're really vetting our vendors, who we partner with, to get the best technology in the fingertips of our patients and our clinicians. There's different AI technology that helps us detect ailments earlier. There's robotic technology that we've added, the Ion robot for our lung cancer screening program. But we talk about patient care being at the forefront. I can't get off the phone without highlighting the work that our, you know, our women's and our burns team has been doing for so long. As recently as this year, we had a patient who was delivering here, and they were at about 22 weeks. And so at 22 weeks, it's just extreme preemie. That baby was born at less than a pound. And we were able to bring that baby to full health over 144 days here in the hospital. And they went home with their family at 7 pounds, 7 ounces. That's the dedication and the technology that's at our fingertips, with the ultimate goal of being able to drive the quality.
Yeah, it's always it. It's the human hands behind the technology that makes it all go. Andre, I know you have a busy day. I appreciate you taking some time out for us. Andre Story is the president of Ascension Columbia St. Mary's Hospital on Milwaukee's East Side. Enjoy the rest of your day, Andre. Again, appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
On Wednesday's show, Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joined us. Rich had an interesting conversation with Fritz Usinger at Usinger's Famous Sausage. You watch the Brewers games on TV, right? Those classic Bob Uecker spots selling sausage. Are they going to continue? Rich gave us all the scoop.
Back to the best of the Upswing on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, going through business headlines. Always changes in the retail world. Kohl's, locally, Menomonee Falls-based, coming up with new ideas to expand the reach of Kohl's Cash, kind of given falling sales in fourth quarter last year. Rich, I've always thought that there's a big opportunity here for Kohl's to modernize and update the approach with Kohl's Cash. It's kind of a print thing mainly. It gets put on the app, but I think there's a lot of opportunities to personalize it, but also it seems like they want to add more brands to the deal program. Yeah, well, you get, when you check out at Kohl's, too, they print out a coupon for you as well with Kohl's Cash. And I have to admit that I don't really use it. I give it to my daughter, and you know, she does what she does. But yeah, so the new Ashley Buchanan, the new CEO, is, you know, evaluating everything, and he's saying that, yeah, they had eliminated too many brands from Kohl's Cash. You know, you couldn't use it for those brands. He did not say which brands. But these are the national brands, and apparently they had eliminated even brands that didn't want to be excluded. So that being said, you know, he said they're having conversations with some of these national brands to see whether they fit and agree to be part of Kohl's Cash. So, yeah, the idea being to make it easier in this era of discount retail for Kohl's to be a player.
Yeah, I mean, you want to take away the friction for sure, and you want to simplify the shopping experience, especially in store. But I think there's also that opportunity online for Kohl's to modernize Kohl's.com and integrate in Kohl's Cash on that platform too, because people have come to expect it and sure, they want a deal. And I think there's a really good opportunity to continue to position Kohl's Cash in this kind of modern new era for retail. All right. Well, modern new era in baseball always. You had a good story last week regarding Bob Uecker's continued legacy with Usinger's famous sausage. Will those television spots continue in this upcoming new season?
Yeah, well, I talked to Fritz Usinger last week after, you know, hearing the latest Usinger's radio commercial on a Brewers game right here on 620 WTMJ.
Ding, ding.
Hey. And what Fritz told me is I had a couple of questions. What are you going to do with the advertising mm-hmm. that featured Bob? And what about the products that you sell with his identification on there?
Yeah.
And they are continuing, and I saw him at the store this weekend. They're still selling the Mr. Baseball Brats
okay.
and the Mr. Baseball Beef Franks, and a portion of the proceeds, with the agreement of Bob's family, will continue to go to charity. As far as the television ads, when I was talking with Fritz last week, he said they hadn't decided yet whether they're going to do, you know, the Feinste Wurste commercials that have been running for years.
All right. Well, I always enjoyed those. There's kind of a beautiful old school feel to them, and yeah, it will be good to see those hopefully continuing on the television airwaves this upcoming season. On the Thursday show, Martin Moore joined us, as he always does. It's the future of almost everything. But what's the future of monetizing music in this modern age? So many different digital platforms, Spotify, SoundCloud. What's Martin's choice? And is there a new platform on a local level that's using blockchain to make music happen?
Back to the best of the upswing on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Martin Moore. Martin, I wanted to talk about the entrepreneurial nature of music. I mean, it's a space that you're in each and every day. Spotify, essentially now, is becoming a bit of a music label. Like, they're selling concert tickets. They're a one-stop shop for content. They have subscription models. They're nudging prices up to maintain profitability and drive its shares higher. But the music industry continues to change. And if I'm starting out, or you're a band that wants visibility, where are you going online to get that visibility and to drive sales? And as we were talking about earlier, like, how do you monetize that craft?
Boy, that's that last one.
Big question.
That's a big question. To answer your first question, as someone who, you know, I played music my whole life, I know a lot of musicians and hip hop artists and singers. You know, SoundCloud has historically been the place where you sort of go. It's got a massive, massive, massive community. There's tons of artists who have, you know, made a living off of SoundCloud, and are, you know, Post Malone. I could, you know, there's just a ton of them. And so SoundCloud tends to be where most people start. Now, you can create a Spotify and Apple account, music account, and, mm-hmm. and get paid and monetized for your streams. But if nobody knows who you are, you're not going to make any money.
Right.
So it's typically you start off on SoundCloud, and if you pop off on there, then you kind of move over to you know, Spotify and yeah. Apple. And you can make money off of SoundCloud too. SoundCloud has paid accounts, and the, you know, they pay certain creators.
Mm-hmm.
So That's where I started, yeah. And where a lot of my friends are on to as well.
Hey, just to put some numbers around it, Spotify said yesterday that it pays $10 billion to the music industry, that it paid $10 billion to the music industry in 2024. 1,500 artists generated more than $1 million in royalties, and independent artists and labels generated more than $5 billion. But Spotify doesn't pay its artists directly. Rights holders, usually a label or a publisher, get that cash first.
Yes.
And then the artist and the songwriter is kind of further down the funnel.
They get a fraction.
Are in that pecking order to make a little bit of money.
You have to be independent. Like, so my old band, I uploaded all of the music to Spotify and Apple Music. And so anything, it doesn't make a lot. But let me just explain that right now. But anything that it does make, I get directly because I'm not on a record label. But you're right. If you're signed with a label or someone owns the rights, there's a pecking order. There's a hierarchy. And you're, as the artist, this person who created it, you're on the bottom. And you get a fraction of a cent of all that revenue.
I always like to think through these challenges that there is an opportunity locally. Here in Milwaukee, a company called Even Labs that was founded in 2021, raising money continually, is a startup that's building a blockchain-based platform to enable musicians to sell music directly to fans. The platform is launched right now, generating revenue, owned locally. So I love these innovations that are coming at, hey, how can we use blockchain and AI to create even more opportunities for local musicians. On Friday's show, to preview the downtown St. Patrick's Day Parade, the 57th annual St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is noon today, Megan Kajawa from Westtown Association and Jake Denny joined us. They talked about the economics of event planning. Jake told us how his bars and restaurants price beers, and we talked about all the details for the big parade. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
Back to the best of the upswing on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the upswing. The St. Patrick's Day parade in downtown Milwaukee steps off tomorrow at noon. Jake Denny is a Westtown board member and owns bars and restaurants around the area. Megan Kajawa, marketing and events coordinator at Westtown. Jake, you have suburban and city locations. A lot of talk now just about, consumer impact on the price level. Walk us through how you determine cost of a single beer at your bars. You probably can't answer that question simply, but I think people are always interested. Why does a beer cost X dollars in a bar?
It's actually kind of more simple than, or it's a lot simpler than
okay.
I think.
All right.
You get a case of beer from the distributor, and let's just say the bottle of beer costs you a dollar. Usually the math is you do five times. So if you go buy a beer, $5 downtown probably is a Miller Lite.
Okay.
That's one way that you start.
Okay.
Then you kind of see what your competitors are, in a way, what pricing are. You don't want to be way too high. You don't want to be way too low. You just want to be within a dollar or 50 cents. And, downtown there's significantly higher rents. That math helps you get at least, to a profit margin to help cover out the higher costs.
Yeah.
We have an X factor. If I put it based on what the Pfizer Forum charges, it'd probably be double that. But that's the benefit of the small business and where we're located. We're focusing on the Milwaukee customer that we'll have all the time, not for a special event.
Are you sensing that customers are more price sensitive these days, or they kind of know what to expect?
They are price sensitive, but we also understand that. So we have discounts during times where, okay, if you want to save some money, maybe you have to get there an hour earlier. For example, 90s 2K, we're busy for 2 to 3 hours on a Friday and Saturday. I've got 10 hours a week to make all our money.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a discount, I'll do it in those hours that are earlier, the classic happy hour, or maybe a certain brand that we discount, and maybe that's going to be your Tito's is going to be your vodka that night because it's a $2 off or something. So for someone who's savvy, downtown especially, you shouldn't have a problem finding a discount at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not during the waiting in line, super busy time.
Interesting. All right. Megan, I want to have you walk through all the start dates for the events, beginning with tonight's party at Jake's Lucky Clover downtown. Just walk us through everything that's happening.
Yeah, so today, shortly here at noon, we are doing our parade press conference at the 3rd Street Market Hall. We'll have a performance from McNamara McCarthy School of Irish Dance, and then have remarks from our parade organizers. Mayor Cavalier Johnson will be joining us, County Executive David Crowley. And then later tonight at Lucky Clover Irish Pub, we have the Shamrock Kickoff Party from 5:30 to 9 p.m. We have Frogwater, who is an Irish folk duo. They'll be doing a performance. We have a parade raffle, which has dozens of raffle prizes donated by our downtown businesses, like gift cards, event tickets, hotel stays, things like that. And we also will have a special drawing tonight, thanks to our presenting sponsor, Miller Lite. They donated Milwaukee Brewers opening day tickets. So a pair of those, we'll be doing a special drawing. So every Miller Lite you buy tonight at the party, you'll get entered into the raffle.
Nice.
And then tomorrow at noon is when the parade kicks off, right in front of the 3rd Street Market Hall. And it travels a mile and a half throughout downtown's entertainment districts. We'll have over 100 units of all 8 schools in Milwaukee Irish Dance will be participating, pipe and drum groups. We have an all tuba band this year, which is kind of interesting. Nice. And my favorite are always the Irish Wolfhounds. And then following the parade, there is the post-parade party at the Irish Cultural and Heritage Center from 2 to 6 p.m., where they'll have more Irish entertainment, Irish food, and a lot of fun festivities for everyone.
Very good. A full slate of events for sure. Megan, I wanted to ask, people are coming downtown for the parade. Where should they park? That's always a big question, right?
Yeah, the best place to park would be at the Avenue structure, so connected to the 3rd Street Market Hall. Interstate Parking is a great partner of ours, and they're providing a $3 rate for anyone who enters on parade day between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. So that would be the most convenient parking spot. And then we always, of course, encourage everyone to travel safely and responsibly on parade day. So considering taking rideshare services or public transportation, thanks to Molson Coors, they are partnering again with Milwaukee County Transit System to do free Miller rides on parade day. Starting at 6 a.m., fares will be free, 6 p.m., fares will be free through the end of regular service.
Ride the bus for free. That's a good thing for sure. All right. You're both active in and around downtown each and every day. I'm going to do like 3 or 4 kind of quick lightning round downtown impact questions for you. First, Jake, define downtown Milwaukee for me in one word.
Exciting.
Nice.
A lot of development going on. So, and seeing the, I mean, I think right around Pfizer Forum, there's 5 different buildings being built right now or in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So the next 2 to 3 years, it'll be probably, I think, 1,000 people from residents to hotel rooms to plus the live music.
Yeah. Megan?
I would say entertaining. There's always something going on, from our big events to small pop-ups and, of course, all the different sporting events we have downtown. It's a great place to be.
Very good. Favorite fish fry, Jake?
I'll probably say Who's on Third. Bobby does a good job over there. Oak Barrel, too. They're right by each other, but a great place to grab a fish fry.
Very good. Megan, you have a favorite?
Yeah, I'd say you can't beat Old German Beer Hall's beer battered fish fry.
All right. Very good. Jake, you talked about beer prices and how you do that at your locations. What's that upper limit that people just are not willing to pay for a beer?
I think once you get to $10, like there's some beers out there that are just rare or not, but once you get over 10, it better be like a really... But I mean, I've seen people pay 18 at sporting events. So it depends on your situation, what your choices are.
Yeah,
I think $6 is probably for a domestic, and maybe $8 for an import.
Okay, Megan, do you have an upper limit? You're just like, I'm not doing it. That's too much.
Yeah, I mean, I have paid the prices at a sporting event, especially Marquette games. But I like to keep it around the. You can always find a $5 special, I would say, especially for a Green Miller Lite.
Very good. Next, your favorite space in downtown Milwaukee. At Westtown Association, I know you do a lot of work around placemaking and connecting the neighborhoods in and around the areas. You have a favorite space, Megan?
I would say the Old World 3rd Street Entertainment District. I just love going out and supporting the different bars and restaurants in our neighborhood.
Jake, you can't say all your bars and restaurants. You can if you want, but give us something ditto. Creative.
The lakefront to me is something that's just amazing. Going to other cities, seeing that they don't have that right next to the city. I mean, I think we take it for granted sometimes. And having the festivals right there, the festival grounds, the Summerfest grounds, it's crazy.
Like, yeah.
You don't see that at other spots.
Yeah.
So I find that is just, I really enjoy going to the lakefront.
Yeah, always something new. So much connectivity, development, and impact in downtown Milwaukee. I thank both of you for what you do each and every day. Truly excited for the parade. As always, we appreciate all the texts and all the input to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620. You can use that number to get a podcast link and get all past episodes of The Upswing sent directly to your phone. Southwest Airlines announced that beginning May 28th, it's going to end its free bags policy, right? The airline that forever has told us bags fly free. It's been the calling card for the company throughout its 54-year history. And now, like, what's the difference? What is the difference between airlines? Why would we fly one airline over another? What's Southwest going to do? Like, bags fly, but now for a fee? I don't know. And I realize and understand truly that it's all about incremental revenue, and you got to appreciate that. All major U.S. airlines charge for checked bags. Now, you're looking between $25 and $100 per bag, depending upon the airline and the fare type. But it makes you wonder, is one airline now, is there an opportunity here? You zig when they zag. What airline could eliminate its checked bag fees? I don't know. I mean, could you do like the Delta Double? Two bags for a buck? Or how about the American Advantage? Bags fly free on weekends. A Spirit Smackdown. What do you think, Jazz? All bright yellow bags fly for $10? That's a great idea. United We Care. Come on, United Airlines. Let's kill the fees. Embrace your name and unite for consumers. I don't know. There's an opportunity here. And maybe it's just short term. But I think an airline needs to react and step up. We shall see.